Our scripture comes from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "Is it not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables? Therefore, brothers and sisters, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. May God bless the reading of his word.
So I want to say thank you to our amazing praise team for music you do every single week and for the creativity and gifts that you share with us to lead us into a greater relationship with God. That's my first Thanksgiving for today. I do have a second one, though. And I want to give a Thanksgiving for a report that was shared with the church board meeting this past week. And I want to share some of the information with you publicly because we all have a vested interest in it. Here it is. The Discover Zone is refreshed, revived, and as of Wednesday, May the 1st, reopened. Can I get an amen and praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. It really is great good news. And I want to take a moment to tell you more about why it is such a great good news for us and for so many. Let me begin by sharing some numbers. This was shared at the board meeting. I want to share it with you now. Over the last month, $80,000 was spent in facility investments where we painted, we put down new carpet, we did renovation by enlarging several classrooms, and we did some really deep cleaning, something that needed to be done for a long, long, long time. I don't know if we've ever done it since the opening of the Discover Zone 45 years ago. We did it. So I want you guys, if you haven't had a chance yet, following the worship service today, to go and look and see for yourselves this amazing thing. We also hired a total of 23 new staff members, 4 leadership team members, 10 new teachers, and 9 new staff support members. We provided over 40 hours of training to all staff members, both new and returning, in student safety, licensing and regulatory requirements, best practices in early childhood education, curriculum, conscious discipline, communications, and teamwork. Teamwork. Are y'all impressed yet? Well, there's more. More than 15 volunteers devoted, get this, over 125 hours of their time this month to make sure that the Discover Zone was ready to open on time and that staff were fully supported to do so. Praise be to God. Last but certainly not the least, we had 30 days of ongoing prayer vigil in the chapel that was dedicated to the Discover Zone families, staff members, and this vital ministry that has been a part of our outreach to children and families in our community for over 45 years. And yes, this past month, with all hands on deck for the Discover Zone, it has been a transformation in our lives and in those that serve the Discover Zone and benefit from its ministry. It has been hard. It has required much from pastors, church staff, Discover Zone staff, ministry partners, and for the families of our children that we serve. And It is also an example of what can happen, the power of proximity that comes when we gather to lead. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. What can happen when you and I discover our gifts and we use them together for the glory of God? Will you join me now as we pray and prepare our hearts to hear God's word to us? Loving and gracious God, we are so grateful for you. And we do want to amplify you in our words and our deeds and all of the things that give witness to the power of your Spirit in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to think about the words of Scripture and what they might be saying to your church today, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, so we have been spending the last several weeks in the book of Acts looking at the amazing work of the Holy Spirit that has been done through the apostles in Jerusalem after Pentecost, and how people are gathering with generosity and with prayer and a sense of mission. Everybody is sharing what they have with each other. No one's in need. The church is exploding in growth, and we are told that God is adding to their numbers daily. But our scripture today from the sixth chapter of Acts reveals a little crack in the idyllic life of the early church. We begin to see that things are not so perfect. In fact, in our text today, we find something happening that while at first blush might sound a little petty, a little childish, nevertheless, threatens the very future of the fledgling church. So what's going on? Well, it has to do with a conflict over food. And I told y'all a couple weeks ago, church life is ultimately all about the food, right? All about food. Look with me again at the text. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So let's begin by answering the question, who were the Hellenists? They were literally Greek-speaking Jews. And here's their complaint. Their widows, who were literally that at the very bottom of the rung of the social ladder of that day, were being neglected. And this was definitely a thing because as chapters 2 and 4 tell us, this new community of believers in Jerusalem was doing what? They were holding all things in common. Why? To make sure that everybody had enough, that there was no one in need, that there was no one being neglected. But the Greek-speaking widows didn't have enough. How come? Well, let's begin with the obvious. They didn't speak the same language as the Aramaic-speaking majority, which, of course, included the apostles. The Hellenists were immigrants. And because it was difficult for them to communicate, it became rather easy for these Greek widows to be somewhat invisible and marginalized. And that really should come as no surprise, because we all know, right, that a lack of clear communication often leads to misunderstandings and conflict, whether it's because of literal language barriers, or cultural or social differences, or life experience, or gender, or you can name a number of things. Ask my husband. Sometimes we don't communicate all that well. And that's when things can go sideways. They can go sideways in a hurry when we don't communicate well. And so I want you to think about this. The 12 apostles who've taken on all of the responsibility to manage and to deal with this exponentially growing group of believers, thousands of people, we are told, come to an important realization. They come to get that they cannot do it all. They come to realize that if they're so busy taking care of this growing and urgent needs of all of these thousands of people, that they will have no time to listen to God and follow the word that God wants to give them for themselves as well as for the church. And unfortunately, the way this passage is often translated doesn't communicate very well either, especially since it's not exactly what the original text says. Our translation, I'm going to read what we just read together. Our translation reads, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables." Now, does that not sound a little condescending? Sounds like they're saying taking care of people's need for food is less important than preaching. That waiting on tables is trivial or a lower task in the community. But this actually reflects a bias in translation that is not found in the original text. You see, the words translated here as like wait on tables and serve the word, they're actually the very same Greek word. They're diakoneo, which means to serve. So let's look at a literal translation here that reads, "It is not right that we should serve tables and neglect serving the word." You hear the difference in that? So this gives us an important sense that the work of serving those in need is on par with the apostolic work of prayer and preaching. The apostles serve the word, and the deacons, as they come to be known and called, serve those in need. The service is qualitatively the same, though the specific tasks and skills are different. Here's what we need to know. Both of them are essential in the formation of God's people and for their witness in the world. The life of the community depends upon both forms of service, and Luke doesn't give us the sense that one is more powerful or more spiritual than the other. Here's what I want to say loud and clear this morning. Serving the word and serving tables, both of them are leadership. Both of them. Serving is leadership in the body of Christ, no matter how you do it. There's a little book, and I mean little. I mean, you could probably read it in an hour. A little book I really love that contains letters and records of conversations by a 17th century Carmelite monk named Brother Lawrence. And the conversations are all about the practice of the presence of God, which is the title of the book. The thing Brother Lawrence strived to recognize every day was God's love, grace, and presence in everyone and in everything. So that for him, there was no difference between the secular and the sacred. Brother Lawrence cleaned pots and pans for the glory of God. He swept the floors for the glory of God. He prepared the meals for the glory of God. He sang songs and he prayed while he cooked for the glory of God. He listened to and he prayed with others for the glory of God. Now, I wonder how our lives would be transformed if we strived to do the same. If we practice the presence of God in such a way that our actions, our words, and our daily lives would all be offered to the glory of God. And what would it take for that to happen in our lives? I think we find our answer in the story today. Because here we see that the apostles come to recognize that the church and its ministry is more about more than just them. It would be a while before the term the body of Christ would become known through Paul's writings, but it's already beginning to take shape right here in verses 3 and 4. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, select among yourselves 7 people of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. And what they said pleased the whole community. Now, one of the things I am continually amazed by is how the Spirit works in such interesting ways. Because a year ago, I planned this sermon series and chose this date for preaching this particular text about leadership. And of course, that was well before any thought of the Discover Zone reset was on the horizon. It was well before I booked a retreat several months ago so that I could spend some time alone. First time in my ministry that I went and spent some time totally alone in the woods, in a cabin, to pray and to listen and to discern what God might be saying as I am looking for next year in the life of Florence Christian Church. It is indeed interesting how the Spirit works. God is good and will give us ears to hear if we will listen. And so as I was listening, I was reminded, I need to be reminded regularly of this, that it's not God's will and way for anyone, whether a pastor or a lay leader, a member of staff, or any one person, to bear the weight of responsibility for the church and its ministry. As we like to say, God is God and we are not. And because God is God, and God is good and loving and generous, God has given spiritual gifts, gifts that are given to all of us so that we can be servant leaders. Spiritual gifts given to you and to me so that everyone benefits from God's grace and love. At our Vision Builders gatherings this past month, one of the things that became very clear to us as we were gathering together and doing that work of discernment was a sense that God was calling the church not to necessarily go into lots of new ministries, but rather to go deeper into our life together, deeper in spiritual formation, deeper in fellowship and building relationships, deeper in service, deeper in learning and experiencing what radical welcome really means. And that wisdom resonated in all of us. It pleased us, just as the community in Jerusalem was pleased with the wisdom of shared servant leadership. Recently, I was listening to a podcast on leadership, and I wrote down something that I thought would be a good spiritual practice for myself. And maybe it's for you too. Remember the to-do list, but don't forget the to-be list. The to-be list. Write down who you want to be, who you think God wants you to be. How are you called to be in service to God this day, this week, this month, this year? Because being with God leads us to how we live our lives of being with others. And being with God will also lead us to recognize and use the unique gifts that God has given. So what is your spiritual gift? How are you using it? If you don't know the answer to that question, I got great good news for you. Beginning this coming week, and this, y'all, this is all God, right? We plan things and then God makes it happen. Beginning this coming week, you have an opportunity to go deeper in your life with God as you discover God's vision for your life through spiritual gifts. And I really do encourage you, if you've not done this, that you sign up today. Write it on your communication card. Take the little QR code. Sign up today for this 4-week commitment, because it is one of the most important steps. We were talking about step by step. This is one of the most important steps that you can take as you seek to live out your life with direction and purpose and vision that God gives to us to follow Jesus more fully. And you know, while we're thinking about discovering God's vision for our lives, it's really all about the journey that we take as we seek out the purpose of our lives. It's about finding our place in this world, because there is a place for you and for me to find our fulfillment, to find our purpose, to find the meaning that God has for your life being on planet Earth at this time. And, you know, as I was out in the woods with God, a song came to me, and I reached out to Josh to see if he'd be willing to sing it. It's called My Place in This World. And so as a moment of time for reflection on what you've been hearing, I would like to invite us all to listen to these words as they're sung. They'll be showing up on the screen as well, as you consider who God is calling you to be in this world. Finding my place, finding your place in this world. This is our journey, and this is our adventure. It's an adventure with God. And that journey can begin at any age, right? Any age. This week, the Discover Zone reopened, and as there was a lot of excitement that went along with that, there was also some anxiety and fear. As little ones who'd been at home for a month were coming back with maybe a new classroom and new teachers. And our own sweet Charla Morris was one who came with understandable anxiety, and it was hard to leave her mama's arms on Wednesday. But when she was picked up later that day, this is the picture her mama took. Charla's standing there at the door, and Shannon said she just wanted to break back in. Why? Because Charla has found her place in this world for now. A loving, caring, faith-filled place where she can learn and grow. And we have that place too. We have this amazing place with these amazing people called Florence Christian Church, who do not exist for ourselves, but for God's purposes in this world. So may we continue to gather together to lead by sharing God's gifts of service generously and willingly, so that there will be less and less need and much, much more love, which is the reason, folks, why we are here. Maybe so. Maybe so in your life. Maybe so in my life. Maybe so through Florence Christian Church. And may it be so for all the people that we will have the opportunity to serve. And the people of God said, amen. And amen.